This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Welcome in. Oh, it's that weird holiday stretch between Christmas and New Year's and everything right after. If you're at work, if you're doing some work, maybe taking down your holiday decorations early. This is Megan Ottolini. I'm with John Lyons. We're filling in for Jones and Keefe today and tomorrow. We have a Patriots Monday, a Patriots Victory Monday, double time, because the Patriots clinched the division with the loss from the Bills to the Eagles last night. We'll address everything from the game yesterday. We are expecting to hear from Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis, just like a regular Patriots Monday. Don't know exactly when, but we'll keep you guys up to date and we'll stay flexible for them. So much to discuss. John, how's your holiday?
It was great, Mego. Even better now that the Patriots are AFC East champs. But yeah, it was good, Mego. It was great. As always on Christmas Eve. How about you?
As always on Christmas Eve. What now?
It was great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Christmas Eve is the big holiday in my family. But now that feels like it was like 3 weeks ago. If you want to join the show today, 617-779-7937 is the number. You can join via phone or you can text in on that same number. You can find us on the live stream at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. We're also live streaming on the WEEI YouTube channel all day. In the afternoon, the guys will be there too, evening as well, just like a regular weekday, even though it's that stretch of the calendar where nobody knows what day it is. Nobody knows what time it is. Time is truly a social construct. What is not a social construct, you like that segue, is the way that the Patriots played yesterday. They kept their foot on the gas pedal that entire game, absolutely demolished the Jets 42-10. Drake May didn't even play the whole game. And he finished not just with 22 rushing yards, but he went 19 for 21, 256 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, finished with a passer rating of 157, which is just barely shy of literally a perfect passer rating, if that means anything to you. Your major takeaway, we'll just start here, from yesterday's game, John.
AFC's champs, Mego. That's my biggest takeaway from yesterday. But from the game itself, my biggest takeaway is the level of focus and professionalism of the Patriots, because as we've talked about this year, a lot of new guys on this team, a lot of young guys on this team, like even Drake May might win the MVP. He's only in his second year. Like, we look at Christian Gonzalez as this all-pro veteran. He's only in his third year, and this is the first good team he's been a part of in the NFL. So a lot of new guys, a lot of young guys. It would have been very easy for them, Mego, over the past week after they have that great win in Baltimore, clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2021, have Christmas, a bunch of guys injured, you're going to play the really bad Jets. It would have been very easy for them to not be fully focused and maybe still win, but win the game, you know, 24-14 or 17-10, and you kind of walk away from it. Well, yeah, they won, but they didn't play great. And instead, you mentioned 42-10. It was 35-3 at halftime. I mean, they really never looked back. You just look at the first few drives of this game. 7-play touchdown drive. Then they force a 3-and-out. Then another 7-play touchdown drive. Then an interception. Then another touchdown drive. They kept their foot on the gas pedal. And honestly, that's one of the things that good teams have to do. They have to keep their foot on the gas pedal against teams they're better than.
So my big takeaway was a big picture one. And maybe I was just in a reflective mood yesterday when I was watching the game and writing for WEEI.com, wrote a great column. If you want to check it out, very highly recommend.
Nice little self-plug. Good job. Yeah.
So humble over here. I was thinking about when Vrabel came back to Foxborough and the introductory press conference that he held last January. It feels like 1,000 years ago at this point, but it was just a week after they had fired Jerod Mayo, after they lost the top spot in the draft. And it just looked like you had finally hit complete rock bottom. We thought that you hit rock bottom when you had to have your conscious uncoupling with Bill Belichick, but then you pulled out the excavator and you went like deeper down to where the fossils are that Joe Burrow gives his offensive lineman as a Christmas gift, which, by the way, seems terrible. Like, I don't want a fossil for a Christmas gift.
What's that movie with Hilary Swank where they, like, dig to the middle of the earth? Like, that's what it was.
I don't know. I missed that one.
Yeah.
When did that one come out in theaters?
This is, like, 20, 25 years old. Yeah, it's old.
We'll Google it during trending.
Core or something. Yeah, I'll look it up.
It's called what now?
A core.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else. I was like, geez, this is PG radio over here. Don't get so racy.
Purgatory week, Mego.
It is purgatory week.
No one knows what day it is, what time is. And just kind of to your point, though, about Vrabel. And I, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, you and I. December 28th was yesterday, 42-10 win over the Jets. December 28th of 2024, one of Gerard Mayo's final games, they lost 40-7 to the Chargers at home. Got booed off the field. And don't forget, that was the game. Remember, Mayo said pregame Stevenson was going to be benched, and then he started anyway.
Right.
Like that, to me, like that stretch of games, like you had that Arizona game after the bye, then that Chargers game. That was as bad as things have been for the Patriots probably this entire century. I mean, that's how bad it was, and now here they are, AFC's champ.
So I was thinking about like what you can take away from a game like yesterday, where, of course, you're going to try to clinch the division and control what you can control. And you're trying to get the number one seed. If you can, if everything breaks your way and Broncos lose to the Chargers, then you can get that number one seed, get the bye for the AFC for the playoffs. But I was thinking back to, okay, what we heard and what we've echoed the entire year since Vrabel took over the job is that the starting point was that they were going to take advantage of bad football. And there's probably no worse football they've seen this whole season than what they saw yesterday. Like, that was a team that should be relegated and regulated. But relegated, that's a team that absolutely should not be playing on NFL Sundays. Like, it is an embarrassment what they put out there in MetLife, like in the Meadowlands. It was awful. It was a bad product for the NFL, but you can only play who you can play. And I thought that's kind of the big picture for this entire season, that you start by saying we need to be better than the bad football. We at least need to be like serviceable and capable. We need to be able to spot the bad football where it is and take advantage of the other team's stupidity and mistakes. This team feasted for two decades touting themselves as the smarter team, the team that was on point and detail oriented. And then I wanted to go back to what else Vrabel actually said in that introductory press conference. And it's like the kids say manifesting, like, oh, I'm going to manifest it. It's the same thing as like if you were in the 90s and maybe your mom had a copy of The Secret and it was basically just about like setting a goal and saying that you were going to do it. So here's a little bit of what Mike Vrabel said almost a year ago now at this point. If we have that, fellas, behind the glass, Jackson.
Yes, I'm looking for that sound right now still.
Okay, well, we will effort to get that. And when Jackson pulls that up, it's essentially that, you know, Mike Vrabel was saying, hey, our goal is going to be win the AFC East, win that division, host playoff games, and compete for championships. And he detailed how they were going to do it, starting with taking advantage of other teams' bad football. And I just think, like, it's hard to remember at the time how ridiculous that sounded. Like, okay, win the AFC East when the Bills and Josh Allen are just going to run that division for at least the next 4 or 5 years. You know, it just felt pie in the sky. And for it to happen as quickly as it's happened, we've talked a lot about the development timeline for Drake May, how incredibly accelerated it's been. But I look back and it's kind of like, Vrabel gave you the roadmap of how they were going to do it. And then all the team had to do was follow. I make it sound simple. They had to execute and everything, but follow in his footsteps. And that's kind of the big takeaway from me yesterday, is that Vrabel told you how he saw this playing out and he executed it with his team and with his coaching staff.
And I think kind of one of the crazy parts of this is, if you think about it, roster wise, the Patriots are still technically in a rebuild. Like, if you because again, it's Drake May's second year. They picked in the top four of the draft Will Campbell this year. So they probably have another offseason to go before they really build up the core of this roster to where they want it to be. yet they're still at 13 wins, winning the AFC East. And to your point about taking advantage of bad football, okay, they lost to the Raiders week one, but it's week one. Crazy things happen every year in week one. But since then, I mean, they blew out Carolina, who was bad at the time. They blew out Tennessee, blew out Cleveland. Atlanta was a close game, but they took advantage of some of Atlanta's mistakes, and they made some of their own in that game. But they blew out the Giants. Now they blew out the Jets. So when bad football, and even that, go to that Ravens game on Sunday night, like they took advantage of the fact that John Harbaugh sat Derrick Henry the final 12 minutes. They took advantage of the fact that Zay Flowers had bad ball security late in the game and they forced a fumble and recovered it and closed it out. Like, so even when they've played the good teams and they've had the close games, they've largely taken advantage of bad football. And that's been, to me, that's been one of the most encouraging things to see, because any team can win one game or play well for a few weeks, but for them to follow these wins, like follow that Bills Sunday night win by ripping off a bunch of wins after that, following the Baltimore Sunday night win with a dominant performance, that shows a focus level, an intensity level, but also, to your point, it shows a level of detail where whenever they get an advantage, for the most part this year, they've taken advantage of that.
Yeah, and if you look at the points differential for every team in the NFL right now, look, you're playing an easy schedule. There's no denying that. But your points differential is 142. The only team in the entire league that has a bigger points differential is the Rams with 158. You have been dominating. Like, you have absolutely been dominating most of the teams that you're supposed to be taking care of. And to your point, yeah, the first time they played the Bills, what happened? They force two fumbles and they get Josh Allen to throw an interception. When they played the Ravens last week, you can look at it one of two ways. Part of me looks at it and says, well, the Ravens kind of handed it to you in the fourth quarter. Now, Drake May like yanked it away and had an incredible fourth quarter, and that was a big step for his personal development. But the Ravens sat Derrick Henry, and then you saw what he did the following week. Yeah. Like, what a stupid decision to sit Derrick Henry. That is a stupid decision by that football team. But you took advantage of it. Yeah, you have to be able to take advantage of it.
And you and I both know that if the Ravens had sat Derrick Henry last year or the year before, the Patriots still would have found a way to lose that game.
Yes.
Like, that's the difference, right? Yes, the Ravens made a dumb mistake. The Patriots took advantage of it, right? And you can go through almost any of the wins that they've had. Like Atlanta, right? They missed an extra point in that game. Patriots took advantage of it. Like, that's what they've done all year long. And I think that Carolina has bad punt return coverage. Patriots took advantage, returned a punt for a touchdown, and then blew them out after that. Like, they've done that all year. And that's the thing when people talk about, hey, the schedule is easy, and we're going to get to that a little bit more later about them heading into the playoffs. But it'd be one thing if they were beating the Jets 17-10 or they were beating Tennessee 24-20. They're taking advantage of the bad teams and they're blowing them up, which is what they should be doing.
Yeah. I again, like, you can only play who's scheduled for you. And there's no way around it. Like, we've been talking about it ad nauseum because it is a real thing. Bill Barnwell wrote a pretty fascinating piece for ESPN last week. Jones and I talked about it a little bit last Patriots Monday. If you want to look it up on ESPN, about how historically easy the schedule has been. I will say, I was watching that game yesterday and there was something that I realized was happening in the playoff picture that I want to discuss, where I went, oh my God, the schedule might be even easier than we thought. Like, as the season goes on and we have 1 week left in the regular season, something started playing out in the playoff picture where I went, is that actually really how it's going to work out for the Patriots? Like, surely the path can't be that easy. And I checked it and I went, oh my God, if they get to the Super Bowl, they might never live this down. The ease of this schedule. And who cares? You're in the Super Bowl. And as Bill Barnwell pointed out in this article, if you want to look it up, there are plenty of other teams who have made it to the Super Bowl courtesy of incredibly easy schedules. This is just one of the historically easiest since 1970. Hey, all you can do is take advantage of it. If people come up to you and make fun of it, say, I'm sorry that they're winning, because that's the reality of it.
And do people really remember, like, the bad teams that the 2001 Patriots played? Like,
one of the biggest beneficiaries of one of the easiest schedules is that stupid, champagne-popping Miami Dolphins team that we have to hear about every season.
Yeah.
When an undefeated team finally goes defeated, finally gets beat, you go, oh, well, they're popping champagne in Miami, the Dolphins. It's like, yeah, they had one of the easiest schedules. That's why they were undefeated. Yeah.
Plus, they'd lose by a million to most NFL teams today. But that's a side point. And also, too, even like the 2011 Patriots team made the Super Bowl and lost against the Giants. Look at the second half of their schedule and all the backup quarterbacks they played and all the bad teams. Do we look back on that and we're like, oh, wow, that was such an easy run? No, like we're like, hey, they were a good team. They went to the Super Bowl. They weren't good enough to win because they had a bad defense. Like 2001, are we like, oh, no, they had an easy schedule? It's like, no, they beat the Raiders in the playoffs. Then they beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. And then they beat the greatest show on turf in the Super Bowl. Like that's what we, and as we should. And I think the only time, like to me, the only time the schedule talk comes up is like when you look back historically and you compare, like if I compare the 01 Patriots to the 04 Patriots and things like that, like in the moment, I think it matters a little bit. We'll get into it more, but I don't think it maybe matters as much as people say, given how well they've played.
617-779-7937. We'll grab a quick call here. This is Ralph in Cranston. Ralph, what's going on? Happy holidays.
Same to you, Meg. Same to you. Yeah, you guys are right. You know, they beat teams, a lot of bad teams, but that's what good teams do. They beat teams you should beat. And you're right about Rabel. He's a great leader. You know, we finally see, though, this is the day and age you have to have a mobile quarterback. Gone are the Marinos the other day, and they did this. But, guys, I've been saying since the second week, and we see it now, if I was May with the money this guy's, I would buy every one of these receivers a new car and say thank you so much. Other than the Williams drop yesterday, which that was a bad sign.
Ralph needs a new car more than anybody. He's the rookie.
Yeah.
Mid-round pick rookie, is, too. That's a small contract.
Yeah, look at Chisholm yesterday. They've got the best all-around receivers to me in the league. Not the greatest, like, one-on-one guys, even though Diggs is phenomenal. These guys catch the ball. They make May look good, even on some of the bad passes. They hold on to the ball. Look, I love their chances now. They've shown their mettle. You know, we look like we're going forward. Are they going to go all the way? Who knows? But at least they got a good potential, you know. And I love what I see. But the receivers, I'm gloating over because I said from the second week, I love these guys. They don't drop the ball. You know, it's been great. Happy holidays, guys. But thanks for the time.
Wonderful. Thank you, Eddie. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ralph. I'm looking at the call line ahead. That was Ralph from Cranston. Great point about Efton Chisholm. I predicted that Efton Chisholm might have like one or two catches. I didn't think one was going to be a touchdown catch, as much as I have been following that guy, talking to that guy since the summer when he was trying to make the roster. It's been mostly a developmental year for him behind the scenes. But when you have Kayshon Booty and Mac Hollins over on the IR, Kayshon Booty just out for the game, you need to look down the depth chart and have guys stay ready. And like, it sounds kind of cliche. It's something I've talked to guys in the locker room about, particularly Vidarian Lowe. How do you stay week to week, like actually ready to play? Because there can be a sense that it's like, okay, yeah, I know that's how I'm supposed to think, but generally I'm on scout team this whole season. So how do I keep that mentality? But I think part of it is that with this team, whether you're on offense or defense, but particularly as a pass catcher, anybody is expected to make a play. And if you're not ready, then there's no excuse for it because everybody else has been able to be.
And to the caller's point, last year, Patriots probably had the worst receiver group in the NFL. It was Denver, Carolina, 31-32. Take your pick. Now, I'm not telling you it's the best receiver group in the league. It's not. But it's so much better than a year ago. And it's been such a big part of their success. And they complement each other so well. Like Diggs, 970 yards. He's going to have 1,000 yards receiving this year, unless they sit him in the final game. They haven't done that since, what, Edelman in 2019? Like, we're talking pre-COVID was the last time that they had a 1,000-yard receiver. So Diggs has been great. And remember the conversation around Diggs when they signed him. Is he going to be ready by Columbus Day? What's his impact going to 970 yards, and he's played 16 games. And obviously, Hunter Henry's been good at the tight end. But the receiver group, they complement each other so well, too. Like, Mac Hollins, before going on IR, this big physical target. DeMario Douglas moves really well in space. Kayshon Booty emerged. We could do a whole 25 minutes on their receiver group, Mega. Like, they've really, from where they were last year to now, arguably the biggest jump of any position group on the entire team.
We could. Maybe that's a segment for tomorrow because we got a lot to dive into with that game yesterday, with the playoff picture. As I mentioned before, realize something as the playoff picture was continuing to unfold yesterday after your game, even besides that Eagles-Bills game, that I went, oh, this is going to be a tough allegation for the Patriots to beat if this unfolds this way, that it looks like it very well might. We'll hit that right after trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Welcome back, everybody. Jones and Keefe off for the holiday season, but never taken a day off is Hunter Henry, the New England Patriots, who just clinched the AFC East. Hunter, thank you so much for holding on and joining us. I know you were waiting through those commercials. Don't worry, we're not going to hit you with the surprise question of the week. This is Megan. I just wanted to start. Congrats on the victory over the Jets yesterday and clinching the division. Patriots shared a video of you guys on the bus, learning that you clinched the division, watching the end of that game. What was it like waiting to see how that was going to play out for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were all just watching the game, just, you know, as fans, and also just, you know, obviously implications on the line. And, obviously we still had control of things. And you know, we were focused on this week and, you know, what Miami presents for us. But always good to, you know, have a chance to win the division and to see that live and to be with everybody, too. I think, like, on the trip home was pretty special.
Hunter, you came here in 2021. You guys made the playoffs that season, then had three losing seasons after that, a couple different head coaches. Now you're back to a winning season, a playoff berth, AFC East Championship. From your perspective, being here through all that, what's been the biggest factor or factors in that turnaround?
I just think I can speak on this year, man. And I just feel like we have a great locker room. Starts with that. And guys that just love playing for each other, love coming to work, love, you know, going through the grind together. It's a lot of unselfish guys, a lot of guys that just want to do what's best for the team and, just playing together. And I think also, you know, Braves just brings a great energy to this team and we're fired up to play for him. He brings an accountability, a level, a standard that you got to play to. And, it's just a lot of fun to be in this building and be here.
So I don't know if you're aware or not, but you set a single season career high in receiving yards with your receptions yesterday. How aware are you of those stats as the season goes along for yourself individually with how many years you've been in the league?
obviously you pay attention to it. It's always a blessing to be able to continue to produce even with, you know, the more years you put in this. Feel like I still have a lot to prove, honestly, and still feel like I'm getting better and still feel like I'm trying to get better and improve, and I feel like there's a lot of ways I can. So that's the beauty of it. You never have this game figured out, and just always trying to get better.
And Hunter, you saw Drake May come in as a rookie last year, develop along the way in his development this year. Now he's an MVP candidate, leading your team to a division championship. What have you seen kind of in the growth of him, even just from July to right now?
Just leadership, confidence, commands of the offense. I mean, you know, this is a new scheme, new offense, and I feel like he's really taken ownership in it and command of it. And, he's just playing at a high level. It's a lot of fun to, you know, fly around and make plays with him.
You guys have one game left against the Dolphins, and then it's on to the playoffs. As you look down the stretch, like you got this one game left, and then it's really resetting for almost another season with the playoffs. How do you keep yourselves energized? It's such a long season, and you guys play such a physical brand of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at it like how we all have all year. I mean, it's just, we got another game ahead of us, and not looking at too far in advance, but just what we have in front of us, and that's the Dolphins this week, and that's all we can focus on.
We're talking with Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. And Hunter, following up on that, there is a possibility you guys could get the number one seed if Denver loses this week and you guys beat Miami. I know your focus is on Miami. Do you pay any attention at all to Denver and trying to get the number one seed and, you know, hope for the number one seed, or is that really not on your radar?
I mean, yeah, of course you would love the number one seed. I mean, yeah, we would all, who doesn't want the number one seed, right? Get a bye week. But we just got to take care of what we got to take care of, obviously, which, you know, you can't look back on things and wish you would have done things differently. But, you know, we just got to focus on what we can, and wherever the, you know, cards fall, you just got to attack it that way.
Due to some of the injuries yesterday, Efton Chisholm got some opportunities on offense, and he scored his first NFL touchdown. The entire team looked so excited, and Mike Vrabel had a big hug for him after the game. What has that guy been like behind the scenes, from all the way back in minicamp, trying to make the roster, to catching his first touchdown yesterday?
Yeah, it's just a testament of hard work, dedication. Just a guy that, you know, does whatever the team needs, and just continue to get better and improve. And that's what this league is. The league is about opportunity, and he got a big opportunity yesterday and took full advantage of it. And, pretty cool to see.
And with that win yesterday, you guys are undefeated on the road this season. That's a unique thing to be able to do, Hunter. Is there anything in particular that you think helped you guys go undefeated on the road, or was it just kind of each individual game coming together?
Yeah, I'd say just each individual game coming together. You know, not looking at the big picture, just attacking each week. And, you know, we're able to string together some big wins, and it's hard to win on the road. And to be able to do it 8 times and not lose, it's pretty special.
Hunter, we are smack dab in the middle of the holiday season. What are the odds that you stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve this week?
odds are very low.
All right. John, you got one more over
Well,
here?
I just, on that, any New Year's resolutions for you, Hunter, or you don't care about that?
I'll have some New Year's resolutions. I usually kind of keep those to myself. Me and my wife probably have some, but yeah, I'm digging to that. Love kind of set some resolutions and some things for the 2026.
Great. All right. Well, Hunter Henry, congrats again on clinching the division, going perfect on the road, a lot to celebrate, and hopefully a lot more to celebrate on the horizon in the new year.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great one, Hunter. Hunter Henry of the New England Patriots. Patriots Monday is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. It's the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF FDIC. He's also brought to you by at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Visit drainsbyjames.com today. All right, so you hear it there. It was very interesting, like a lot of full circle moments for the Patriots yesterday. And one that you noted there, John, was that it wasn't that long ago that Drake May made his NFL debut at the Jets. Back in September of 2024, and he was jumping in, and at that time there was still like squabbling over should Jacoby Brissett keep playing because we're not ready to protect Drake.
Aaron Rodgers was still the Jets QB,
right? It feels like a zillion years ago, but I don't think anybody could really say that. Maybe Drake himself, but anybody else could say that just over a year later he'd be in a 2-horse race truly for the MVP award.
And what stood out to me, too, is when he talked about Mike Vrabel bringing a level of energy and accountability. And I know he didn't want to go there talking about his previous head coaches there, but it felt like that was something that either he felt was different from last year or that he's just really excited about this year. And I think that combination with what you're talking about with Drake May making that jump forward this year, those are the two biggest drivers of their success. And yes, Will Campbell's been a big part of it. Josh McDaniels, Stephon Diggs, Robert Spillane, Milton Williams. All those guys have been.
Well, it sounds like you were just reading the list of IR or injuries.
I know, no kidding, right? Like, but it feels like all those guys, and here's what, Carlton Davis, healthy, right? Those guys have
kind
all
been, of. Yesterday was like the first game when Carlton Davis hasn't disappeared to the locker room for 10 minutes and then returned to the game.
I know, I got to like go through the Rolodex here to find someone that's just healthy right now. But those guys have all had an impact. But the two biggest things, and we know this for years here, coaching the quarterback, it's been that the energy and accountability of Vrabel, but then that jump forward that Drake May has. I mean, we knew he'd be pretty good. At least a lot of us felt, this guy's going to be good. But to go from a guy that had a lot to work on at the end of last year to, sure, some still things to work on, but an MVP candidate now, I mean, I don't know who saw that jump. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
I think, the biggest jump that a lot of us were looking for Drake to make was just lower the interceptions.
Don't turn the ball over.
Don't turn the ball over
16 times last year.
Keep the deep shot, in your repertoire and keep that going. But, maintain that aggressiveness with being smart and having good judgment on the field. And we talked about the comparisons to Josh Allen and how it took Josh Allen to end of year three, beginning of year four to understand that balance in the type of game that he wanted to play. Again, if that's because of the schedule that they're in, then that's what it is. But whatever, he's still putting it together this year.
And I think you look at the way he's kind of fit in with not just Vrabel, but with McDaniels, with all these new pieces. That's been another piece of how quickly this has come together. Because you think about, you go back to, let's say, mini camp in June. And yeah, Drake May was here last year, but it's a new head coach working with him, new OC, bunch of new pieces around. I mean, they're starting offensive line last year. There's only one piece of it from this year, and that's Mike Onwenu. The other four starters.
Wait, Vidarian Lowe is a piece of it right now. Ben Brown did get in there yesterday.
They've played two games. I'm saying, for the balance of the year, the starting O-line has been four out of five new guys. And credit, by the way, to Vidarian Lowe for being much better than he was last year. I will give him that.
I thought that Vidarian Lowe actually had some bright spots last year. He was injured, and he was very he was very jumpy. He was very prone to picking up pre-snap penalties, and that wasn't great. And he had a lot of holding as well. But he when he was healthy and when he was locked in, he was fine. And that's all you can ask for a backup tackle. 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to jump in on the phones or if you want to jump in on the text line, let's go to Eddie in the car. Eddie, what's up?
Mega, how are you? It's good to hear your melodious voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I was watching the Buffalo game yesterday, and it was very nice of them to give that nice Christmas present to the Patriots. I watched the end of the game yesterday, and Philadelphia did nothing with the ball in the second half. I mean, nothing. And it's beyond me why Buffalo decided to go. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they missed. But I just thought that was just a huge mistake, because I can understand going for the 2 points if you couldn't stop Philadelphia all day. But for them not to tie that game up and take this shot in overtime, they're at home. They were moving the ball up and down the field and in the fourth quarter. I just thought it was a major, major blunder. And I don't know what in the world Buffalo was thinking with that game. I heard Willie this morning say he could understand why. It made no sense for them to do what they do. And you know what? You're a football lady. Tell me your thoughts.
All right. Thank you, Eddie. I am a football lady. I agree. I thought that they played the end of that game as if they thought they were seeing Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes on the other side. I kind of thought that they should have just kicked it, go into overtime. They had all the momentum of that fourth quarter, as they have in most of the games this season when they've been able to come back. And so I thought that they were just trying to maybe protect Josh Allen's health, because he's had that foot thing from the last game. He had something going on with his ankle, it looked like, yesterday. So maybe they were just trying to cut it short, and they thought that they would be able to end it there. But look, maybe sometimes you need to be a little bit more conservative when you know that you have Superman that can charge down the field in overtime.
I actually agreed with them going for two in that situation. And the reason is, you go back to the first touchdown they scored. They didn't just miss the extra point. It looked bad. It got blocked. The conditions weren't that much better at the end of the game. So I wasn't super confident.
You thought the kicker was going to miss another one?
Or that he was going to potentially get another one blocked. But I also think it was a bigger picture thing for them. I think the Bills look at it and say, well, Patriots are probably going to beat the Dolphins next week. We won't win the division. We're not scared of going to Foxborough in a playoff game. So rather than play 10 extra minutes of overtime and risk having guys get hurt, we'll try to win the game now. And if we don't, because they're not going to get the bye. They're not going to get the one seed. They probably were. So I think they looked at it in the moment from, I don't know if we'll make an extra
point. You thought
point.
That they were basically and like, the, we're okay to take the loss?
And by the guy was open, by the way. Like, Josh Allen just missed him. Like, they had the play there. It wasn't like they got blown up and they had no chance. Like, the guy was open and Allen missed him.
That's the other side of it, though, is that there's, like, no real receivers for Josh Allen.
Sure.
So why are you running the two-point play when it's basically like, oh, maybe somebody will get open, and it happened it was more on Josh Allen. But at that point in the game, Josh Allen was also just trying to do everything by himself because that's all he had left.
And again, I think it came down to more, I don't think they had a lot of confidence in their kicker to not get another extra point blocked. Especially, again, the conditions were a little better than earlier in the game, but not that much better. And again, the guy was open. They didn't get and I think part of it was a big picture thing. Like, do they want to sacrifice 10 minutes of overtime? Potentially someone gets hurt where they're not. They just won a game in Foxborough. They're not afraid of coming here. And they're not afraid. They went to Pittsburgh and won a game there. If they have to go there, they're not afraid of going there either.
Well, as the playoff picture shakes out, it looks like Buffalo might be a rare thing that you saw this regular season, which is a team that's actually going to make the playoffs. We'll address that after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Looking to throw, pressure throws, incomplete, don't see a flag, Eagles going to hold on.
That's what it sounded like at the end of the Bills and Eagles game last night. And of course, if you saw the video that the Patriots put out, they were very aware of that game, watching it together on the bus on the way home from what I'm guessing was the airport.
Had the hats and t-shirts ready.
Yeah, going over to Gillette Stadium. At first I thought, like, do they always have to go to Gillette after the airport? Because that would suck.
Because I think that's where they leave from. They get on the team buses there, go to the airport, fly.
It's like an extra 30 minutes at least. But when you're getting hats and t-shirts and you're celebrating, then it's worth it.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'd
be
like,
hats and t-shirts right on a table outside, ready to go. So
it's always sad right when you think about if they hadn't clinched it. If the Bills won.
Well, that was
and
like
those hats
weeks
and t-shirts
going, so
just keep sitting there. Yeah. They just keep sitting in that box waiting. But the Bills did lose yesterday. And that presents an interesting playoff picture that's on the horizon. There is a lot at stake in week 18. And it's not just, hey, are the Broncos going to be able to lose to the Chargers and give you the bye for the AFC for the number one seed? Again, there's only one bye now because we have to have so many wild card games on Super Wild Card Weekend. But as we sit here today, Tampa and Pittsburgh are the only other, and the Ravens are the only other three potential playoff teams that you'll see. So that you have seen. So you have this cannibalization right now. You have Panthers versus the Bucks. You have Ravens versus the Steelers, and those are the teams that are trying to force their way into the wild card weekend. So depending on what shakes out there, you might be looking at a schedule where it's not only meeting the allegations of how easy your schedule was, but you barely saw any playoff teams.
Yeah, you will have played 4 games against playoff teams total, right? 2 against the Bills, and then the winner of the Ravens, Steelers, winner of the Panthers, Bucks. So 3 playoff teams, 4 total games. Not a lot, as they say. But you look at how the Patriots fared in those games. Well, okay, they 1-1 against the Bills, lost to the Steelers because they turned the ball over 5 freaking times and still only lost by 7. Most annoying game of the year. But you beat the Ravens, beat the Bucks, blew out the Panthers. So, I mean, against those teams, if you will. And by the way, at the time you played the Bucks, they were thought of as the best team in the NFC at that time. They've gone 1-7 in their last 8.
Look,
but at the time, they were playing really well.
But they were also playing injured.
Sure.
They were down several key players.
Definitely. Ibuka was their only healthy wide receiver that
day. I'm not trying to throw cold water on everything. It just furthers the reality of, I think you should go far. You should go really far in these playoffs. And I think it's important to get the number one seed. Like, if you can do everything within your power, and then you wait to see if the chips fall in your favor. But at the same time, you may have played, three playoff teams in the schedule? That is crazy. When is the last time that happened for you?
And I would say, though, in those games, if they had gone, so it's a two bill, if they had gone 0-4, then I'd be like, all right, then I'm, concerned about this. But 1-1 against the Bills, and it's a one possession loss. And let's say because I think the Panthers will beat the Bucks. You blew them out. Ravens, Steelers, it's a toss-up. I don't know. I'd rather the Steelers win that game.
We don't even know if Lamar's going to play.
Right, we don't know. And DK Metcalf's obviously still suspended for the Steelers. I'd rather play the Steelers anyway in the playoffs. I don't think they're that good. But
I think the Steelers are bad, and I can't believe that you lost to them still in that regular season game.
Most annoying loss of the year.
Most annoying, I agree.
Even week one, you can be like, all right, it's week one, Pete Carroll and Geno Smith, maybe they a little ahead of May and Vray. Just at that time in week one. But, yeah, the Steelers get, one of your fumbles, Stevenson fumbled at the goal line, too. We don't need to relitigate it. But most annoying loss of the year. But I think, look, it's one of those things where, and I mentioned this earlier, like the 2011 Patriots, they played two good teams all year. One of them was the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. The other one was the Giants, who they played once in the regular season and once in the Super Bowl. Like, sometimes that happens. But if you're a good team, you will take advantage of that. Like, it'd be one thing if we were sitting here, Mego, and the Patriots were 8-8 because they had blown that game against the Saints, or they had lost some other game along the way, lost to the Giants, whatever. Then we'd be looking at it like, man, schedule wasn't that good, and they couldn't take advantage of it.
Wasn't that good.
They
the
still
schedule
have a long
is extremely easy. And I get your point, but it all goes looking towards the playoffs. Does it make you concerned that they're battle-tested enough? Because I know that's something that we have talked about ad nauseum, but this is another wrinkle of how truly beneficial the schedule has been to you. And I think that they've mostly done everything that they can with what they have and what's presented in front of them. What scares me is when you go into a deep playoff run and you're injured and you're waiting for guys to come off IR, you're waiting for Matt Collins to return, maybe not even till the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, depending on how it shakes out for you. You're hoping Milton Williams comes off IR the same way that he was before. You're hoping that Will Campbell's not too out of condition to play that position and protect Drake Maywell. Like, you just haven't seen that quality of competition that often this season.
And I think that's why, to me, Mego, the win in Baltimore was so important. Because I agree with you that on the whole...
When you saw Snoop Huntley?
Yeah, right. But
Snoop Huntley was all right that game.
But I think to go there, and I know Lamar Jackson got hurt, I get it. But to go, like, you go there and play a night game, that's a tough environment. And to go there, and Derrick Henry, they inexplicably sit him down, I know. But to go there in that fourth quarter, down by 11, in that environment and take that win... That gave me more, like, if they had lost that game, then I'd be sitting here saying, okay, you beat the Bills once and you blew out the Panthers, but I don't know. That win gives me a lot more. Because even, like, Denver has not had a difficult schedule for the most part. Same thing with Jacksonville. Same thing, I think, with San Francisco. I don't know the exact numbers on them, but I think theirs is lower in the league. And those teams are, like, I look at those teams and say, hey, those are good teams. Even because you watch the way they've won. Like, Jacksonville went to Denver and won by two touchdowns. So to me, even though you say, hey, maybe Jacksonville's schedule is a little easier parts of this year, when it came down to it, they went to Denver and they won that game. Even Patriots going to Buffalo, like, that's a tough environment. So there's something to be said for what you're saying, that I would have liked to have seen them play one more really good playoff team and see how they stacked up. But when they had those opportunities, I thought they really rose to the occasion, especially Sunday night in Baltimore. That, to me, that was the one where that's when I crossed the threshold to say, okay, I think they can win the Super Bowl. Before that game, I was like, they're a good team. They'll go deep in the playoffs. That win I looked at and said, okay, I think they can win the Super Bowl now.
Well, another award that is up for grabs is MVP. And as I said before, it's essentially a two-horse race between Matthew Stafford and Drake May. After having almost a perfect passer rating, and I believe the highest QBR since that stat was created yesterday, Is Drake May putting himself seriously in contention for that award going up against Matthew Stafford, somebody who, I don't know, at least 10, 12 years older than him and much more experienced? We'll hit that after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.